Well, as we get into the Word today, we're going to go to the Epistle of Jude. And that's a very short epistle right before the book of Revelation. For context sake, I want to make reference to the beginning of the letter. Verse 3, Jude is saying there to contend for the faith, earnestly contend for the faith. You know, the devil is going to try to steal the Word of God from you. Because the Word of God brings change and transformation. The Word of God sets us free that we can know and serve God and be glorifying to Him. He goes on talking about the perversion, about the work of the enemy happening, the flesh that's going on. In particular, he says about the abuse of the grace of God, that people say, well, sin's okay, I can do what I want, and the rejection of the authority of God, denying the Lord as God, or God as Lord of our life, as the authority of our life. And that's very much rampant today, and much of the body of Christ are people who will say they are Christians, because many are not. Who say they are. They're not. Sometimes people think, well, you know, how can you say that? Well, you look at the scriptures and their life says that. And you know, people say, well, people can say anything. But what's going on in your life says what's really on the inside of you. There's no escaping that. And where people want to persist in sin and deny the grace of God to change you, they don't have anything. And if we are truly saved, we're going to realize that it's only by the grace of God and the power of God working in our life as we submit to His authority. So anyway, that's a very prevalent thing. And he goes on and lays it out how many would just live their life in ungodly lust, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of worldly pleasure, and so forth. So I don't want to go into all that, but we see the increase of that around us in the world, and it's exponentially increasing, the evil of this world. And what's so dangerous is when people begin to take all manner of sin and then normalize it and begin to say, well, that's normal. This isn't strange to God. But when you know the kingdom of God, you know that's not normal to the kingdom of God. It's normal to this world. But if we're living for God and we love Him, it's not normal to live into in the midst of that perversion or to be a part of that. So as it goes on, now in verse 16, he says there's murmurers, complainers, walking after their lust and so forth. And where he proceeds to go with this is that as evil increases around us, we need to be very purposed to stay strong. You have to be stronger by the Spirit of God on the inside than all the things coming against you from the outside. And that is something we must purpose to do. You don't just strong because, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't have to do all that. Well, I'm just strong because blah, blah, blah. No, we have to be very purposed to stay strong. Just like an athlete, the best athletes are very purposed to take care of their body and become as strong as they can because of the rigors and the demands of their sport. It requires it, lest they wear out in the midst of the game. Now, living our life for the Lord is no game. However, we have an enemy who wants to steal the Word, and we have to be very purposed to be strong, especially living in these last days. And there's evil magnifying around us. To be honest with you, I didn't think that I would see in our nation 20 years ago. And you're probably the same. It's like, I can't imagine it getting this bad. Well, it's getting worse. The Bible says it would. So we shouldn't be surprised. So down here at verse 20, he says, but you. Now he begins talking about what's going on around us. But you. Now, we need to be careful we don't get so aggravated by what's going on around us that we just talk about that and we don't become a complainer about what everything going that's going on. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, it's important that you spend time in prayer in order to draw on the strength of God in all of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues and pray with your knowledge or your understanding, as Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. So we need to build ourselves up and stay strong. It is a proud person who thinks they don't have to do that. You're a fool if you think you don't need to do that. Because the pressure of the evil around us will wear you down unless you purpose to stay strong, which requires a prayer life, a discipline in that. It's not an option. Some things in life are not optional. You have to do it. You need to go to work and earn an income so you can buy food and have a house to live in. That's not an option that you have. Well, I don't feel like working. Now, the government, in order to control people, wants people to think, well, if you don't want to work, that's okay. We'll give you enough to survive. We should not just want to survive, but we should want to excel and to prosper, that we might be a blessing to others as well as have a fullness of our own life. Build yourself up praying. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now, as things are going on around us that would serve to agitate us, we have to be purposed not only to be strong, but to keep ourselves in love. It's very easy to become frustrated or agitated, and you end up just, it's all about me. Many times people, the lack of the love of God in them is exposed when they're under pressure. All they can think about is themselves. And they draw back from the life of giving. They draw back from the interactions with people that they would normally have because it's now all about me. Now, one example of that would be like what our nation went through last year with this whole COVID manipulation, control, demon, spirit. I need to throw some adjectives in here to express my disdain for what we went through. Because in my mind, it was of the devil. And but the thing is, when you have that kind of pressure coming, many times people just draw back and just think about, well, I just got to take care of me. And the thing is, our life in Christ shouldn't be affected or changed because of what's happening around us. Whether it's persecution or affliction or need or, you know, like disease floating around all around us, whatever it might be, lack of money. It shouldn't change who we are because Christ in us is stronger than the devil in the world all around us. So we keep ourselves in love. And to do this, we cannot allow ourselves to start getting angry about what's going on. Donna and I found we had to reduce the amount of time we would hear what's going on, like the news. Now, it's not good to be ignorant. You don't just turn it off and say, well, I don't want to hear anything. Well, that's the ostrich sticking his head in the sand. You have to know what's going on. However, you have to know when to shut it off and make sure there's more of the Word of God coming in than there is the news of the world or the bad news. We need more good news than bad news. And on television, you won't find that much good news. But you might find some, but there's not a lot. So you have to know, you know, what amount of what's going on that you can expose yourself to, because we have to be purposed to stay strong, which means submitting yourself to the good news. You know, we have so many devices. You can have like music playing all the time so easy that would be edifying and godly. That's a wise thing to do. Maybe you're listening to preaching or what have you. There's really no excuse for people nowadays because it's easier than ever to just hear more of the word. Easier than it's ever been. I mean, if I travel and I just have my iPad, that's all I need. Got my music, preaching, Bibles, all kinds of stuff. It's all right there. Back in the day, you had to wear those cargo pants and have taped stuff in my pockets of my pants, because you're flying a long flight in an airplane, that you pull out some music and listen to or some preaching. And now it's so easy. So if you're not doing it, it's on you. There's no excuse for that. Again, it's not an option. We must stay strong. We must be purposed to stay in love because the things that could pull you out of love are really all around you more than ever. If there's less to pull you down, you maybe wouldn't have to be as purposed and diligent. But the more there's negative around you, you have to be even more purposed than you used to be. And this is where people miss it sometimes. It's kind of cruising along like they were before. But there are times in your life that you need more of God, more of His Word, more prayer. And if you are not willing to change how you live or what you do, you will not have the strength you need. When you go through a certain crisis, like say for myself, like within the last month or so, like a health crisis, you better set yourself to get a hold of more of God and not be cruising on an empty tank. Because if you're not strong and full, then those things that would test you or be a trial to you could overcome you. Now, I'm speaking out of conviction, if you can't tell. A strong conviction out of all that. Keep yourself in love, looking for something, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Now, this is what I want to focus on. Everything I said to this point is for the sake of context, to have a context to take this statement. Looking to make a difference in the world and in the lives of people you're encountering or to whom God's assigning you to. We need to be purposed that my life is making a difference. Now, we were created in the image of God, and we were created where people want that. You want to know that your life is making some impact in this life. People want, you need to have purpose because God's a God of purpose. He creates us with purpose. And it's interesting how people, as they're growing a little older, high school many times it might begin, or maybe the year shortly thereafter that, where you start thinking about what's my purpose in life. Because in fulfilling purpose, there's a satisfaction there. And people need that. As people go on just living for themselves, there's no satisfaction that their life really means anything. And they can easily get depressed or have other issues because there's no meaning to their life. So that's within human nature. Well, God has a purpose for your life. He wants us to be glorifying to Him. And there are specific things called His plan, His purpose, His will for our life, where we're going to make a contribution to humanity, that we're going to affect other people's lives. Now, that should drop in our spirit much stronger when you become a parent, that you're going to make a difference in the life of your child, not just give them some food to eat and a place to sleep. That's pretty shallow. But that which is working in you would be imparted to them and make a difference, that you've made a difference in their life. And we begin to expand that out. God wants us to make a difference in this life, in this world, lest we're just going through life, just going through the motions and trying to survive or just live for our own pleasure, but rather that we're going to make a difference impacting others with the life of God. So he's saying, keep yourself in love, staying above all that's going around you, looking for something, the mercy of the Lord. Now, we've already received the mercy of the Lord. We've already received eternal life. What he's really talking about here is having an expectation of the compassion and mercy of Jesus being poured out on an ungodly world. Because the context of the letter in the verses preceding this, he's talking about how evil it had become in the world. And it's for us to have expectation, looking and believing God for the mercies of God to be poured out into the life of someone else. And many times in people's lives, something I've learned is an openness to God is like a window opening. I found this dealing with teenagers when we had our high school, and I was dealing with them every day. And it became real to me. Most young people, they'll think about, and this can be at younger age too, but they'll think about spiritual things a little bit here and there. And then they go, you know, they're going about their life, or, you know, going to soccer practice and doing their homework and doing all this stuff. And it's easy for a child to get up and to get caught up into play, to get caught up into just the things they have to do and fun and all of that. Because, you know, for a child, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, it says, or just to play. You become a man, become a woman, you enter into the work of life. Some people are older and they're still children because all they want to do is still play or seek out the pleasures of life. Play. Some people will work hard to make the money so they can afford to go and pay for the high price of play. Selah. Think about that. Let that sink in for you. And then they justify the pursuit of play because they work hard, but they're working hard for the purpose of play. That's still childishness. As we mature, we live our life to enter into the work that God would have for our life. And I don't just mean spiritual work, but all that it would entail. You know, training children's a work of your life. being married's a work of your life. You have to work at that. You know, the world has these goofy ideas. You fall in love and you just have bliss because this other person's perfect. And then you find out they're not like you. Well, we need to be looking for something, and that is the mercy of God. And many times in people's lives, it just opens. There's like a window opens and it needs to flood in right then. And when you're around people, we watch for the opportunity for when the window cracks open. So I used to do that with kids. You just sort of watch. And every now and then, you know, something would hit kids a certain way. And they begin to think, why am I on this earth? What's love? Do I have? What's friendship? They begin to think about that. And the wise parent or teacher is going to try and pour as much in at that time as you can. And then the window might close and they're back to playing sports or doing studies or whatever it is that they're doing. And those things aren't like evil or wrong. I'm just saying it's a reality of the life of a child, is that it largely gets caught up in the activity of life and they don't think a whole lot about things in a deep way. But as one gets older, those things become more important. Like, well, why am I on this earth? What am I going to do with my life? I got hurt by someone. What's real friendship? They begin to think about those things. And with the instruction of the Word of God, they can enter into that realm successfully. So, in watching, sometimes people think witnessing is just preaching at people. That's not witnessing. That's a wrong thought. And people do it out of themselves. Like, they feel good. Like, I sure told them, yeah, I'm spiritual. No, we have to have enough discernment to discern where someone's at. And as there's an inquiry, as there's some hunger, as there's some desire, then we can enter in. They'll allow us in because they're wanting to know. If someone doesn't want to hear, they're not going to hear no matter how loud you're talking. But we learn a sensitivity in spirit. We watch for the window to open. And many times you might be working around someone and they're watching you and how you didn't get mad when everybody else would get mad at a situation. How you have joy and they know there's some things you're walking through. They know, you know, the boss isn't favoring you and they see you still do your very best as under the Lord. They watch, they watch, they watch, they watch. And it might be days, months, or years, but they're watching. And then a day comes, they say, why are you so joyful or peaceful or loving or forgiving or whatever? The window's cracked open. Pour it in. Pour in then. We're looking for the opportunity for the mercy of God to go into someone. That's what I see here. We're looking for that opportunity. Even though people he's describing were very evil, we still watch for that opportunity that you can show forth the compassion of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, whereby they might be delivered out of that, because it's only by the power, the transforming power of the gospel, that anyone's life's really going to be changed and deliverance is going to happen in their life. But we can't stop having expectation or looking for that. It so ministered to me when his brother Lavere Soper shared he was going into some Muslim countries in Africa and Asia and how God was moving among the Muslims and many were getting saved. And something he shared really hit me. He said, one quarter of these Muslims that are getting saved have had Jesus Christ appear to them in visions and dreams. And another quarter of the ones getting saved personally received a miracle. And the other 50% knew the people who had Jesus Christ appear to them or the miracle done in their life, like family members or associates. And it was so striking to me because it's very easy when you hear of like the terrorism and all this kind of stuff and the brutality. It's very easy to write off people. Well, they're so evil, God judge them, fire fall from heaven. It's very easy to enter into that thought, but we're not really in love when we're thinking like that or having expectation and watching for, believing God for the mercy of the Lord, for a window to crack open that mercy can pour in. And sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, say with kids, it might not be very long. It cracks open. There's a real opportunity when it comes to preaching at a funeral. Because many times there's people who come. They're all caught up in this world. And they come and there's their relative or friend or someone they knew lying in a casket. And they begin to think, that could be me. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me when I die? And the window cracks open for a brief moment. And if at that time the gospel is being preached, many times people get saved at that time because the mercy of the Lord poured in when that window cracked open in that brief moment of time. And if they don't hear it and receive it, they walk out the door right back in all that worldly life that they're living. So as a preacher of the word, understanding that, you know, even though there's sorrow with a funeral, there's a time of great opportunity because many times that's when it just cracks open. But do we have expectation that God can break through a hardened heart, people serving the devil or even, you know, doing all manner of evil? So we can't let that slip from our heart that the hardest people can be saved. Maybe you were one of those people at one point. Yeah, many of you, yeah, I know your background, you weren't. But sometimes some people, their testimony, they were bad, man. They were serving the devil with all that was within them, doing horrible things. And you see them. You know, a lot of my pastor friends in Ukraine and Russia, these guys were bad dudes, man. I mean, they worked for the mafia, you know, collecting money, breaking kneecaps and stuff like that. They, you know, killing people and all that. And you would never know it to be with them now because their life was transformed by the gospel and person of Jesus Christ. They're a completely different person. And they don't, you know, brag or talk about that much, but sometimes in conversation it's relevant for them to say what the Lord brought them out of. And I said, praise God. And some of the stories you would hear, you know, like some of these guys were in prison or drug addicts. Most all of them were drug addicts. I'm talking about heroin, the hardcore stuff. And, you know, killed people and beat people and drug addicts and in prison and all that. And with some of them, I remember this one guy's story. Someone somehow a track got in the prison where he was at in Ukraine. And I think he had AIDS. He was dying and in locked up. And he reads this, gets saved. In his desperation, the window cracked open. And there was a track there. I mean, not even a person. There's a track there. It's this brief little gospel thing. And God miraculously delivered him from drugs, from AIDS. And somebody comes in the next day and says, you can go free. You can leave the prison. I mean, I've heard a number of these kind of stories like that. And we have to stay in love and faith, believing God, that when that window cracks open to someone's soul, that the mercy of God can pour into them. Now, I'm talking about a mindset God wants us to have in the midst of all the evil going on around. If you just look at the evil going on around you, it can just make you angry, depressed, you just upset with life. Or we can stay strong in the Holy Ghost and keep ourselves in love, believing for change. He says, looking for that mercy for other people. And it says, if some have compassion, saying, and show compassion. We should have expectation for it, especially in prayer, and show it. To have compassion is one word in the Greek. Greek has a lot of like compound words. That's why in English it'll read like in a phrase or a sentence. But it's just one word in the Greek because there's different words put together. And it says, you expect it, look for that, for the invasion of the mercy of God into the lives of hardened sinners, and show it, making a difference. As we walk in love, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciple because you're walking in love. They know that's not in them. There's something different about you. And they may begin to inquire. But we need to show compassion or be merciful in our heart, demonstrating it, making a difference. Making a difference. You make a difference where you are. You don't make a difference in something that doesn't exist. Well, someday there'll be some ministry. No, you make a difference where you are. You live your life where you are. You know, when I go on a missions trip, I don't become something else. I just go and do what I do here. And God will use it however, whatever, might vary somewhat. But you can only be what you are. And wherever, when we understand this, I am in Christ. I need to be in Him. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. And that wherever I am, wherever I go, and I'm encountering people, I can make a difference by the grace of God or by His working in me, what He's done inside of me. I can make a difference in someone else's life. And this is very much unlimited. There's many, many ways we can make a difference. just being a help to someone, but especially in sharing the life of God. It says, others save with fear. And this is not a real good translation. It's a different word, and it's building upon this showing compassion, bringing deliverance out of the fire. In the word with is an incorrect translation. It's the word E-N-N in the Greek, means in the fear of God, or in reverence to God, in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord hates sin. It hates that which is destroying the object of God's love, which is people. In other words, we have no tolerance for sin, but the love of God in us keeps us persevering. See, sometimes people think like you're a witness if you're just so compromised and tolerant of sin. No, we hate sin. We know what it does. It destroys people. Satan, through sin, destroys people's lives. And in the fear of the Lord, we need to hate the destructive power of sin, because if we don't hate that destructive power and we're just tolerating it, we're not going to speak the truth that would set someone free. Please hear me right. I'm not saying you bust on people on their sins. I'm saying it's talking about our heart. In our heart, we need to realize that the sin going on around us serves to destroy people. Satan's a destroyer, to enslave them, to torment them. And it's all the more we need to be diligent to stay strong, believing God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost to break through the hardened heart, because this sin will destroy them. If we have very little consciousness of the destructiveness of sin, we'll lose the urgency. And so many people out there, well, it's okay, it's okay. We tolerate all these things. No, sin destroys. That's why it's not to be played around with. The Bible is very plain with that. So hating the garment spotted by the flesh or by the work of sin, but out of that fear of the Lord, in respect to God, God so loved the world He sent His Son to die for us. In other words, that's part of the fear of the Lord. God, if you respect God, we respect what He's done. He saw the need of humanity to send His Son to die for our son, to die for our sin. So we, out of our respect for Him, we realize the urgency for people to be saved. It's an urgent matter. It's you know, no one knows how long anyone's going to live, or how the enemy might try to take someone out. Making a difference, in living a life to make a difference, we have to be very purposed in that. I want to make a difference. Otherwise, what's around you will affect you, or you'll just begin to live for your own pleasure, trying to be comfortable. It becomes about you. Whereas we're purposed, Lord, I want to make a difference. You will consider every word out of your mouth. You will consider every action you take. If you're purposed, I want to make a difference. I want what I say to be edifying to someone, to build them up, to testify, to represent Jesus Christ. See, there's a purposing to this, to make a difference. If as a parent, to make a difference in the life of your children, you have to be very purposed in everything you do. Your example is going to lead them one way or another. So we need to be very purposed. We think before we talk. We judge ourselves before we do, before we act, so that we can live our life making a difference. Well, verse 24 goes down here. It says, to Him is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. God can keep us from falling. We do not have to fall to what's going on in this world. God has His power, not only delivers us, but keeps us in Him. It says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. So he caps this off with the thought here and living to make a difference and having expectation and living a life to show the mercy of the Lord as the window of men's souls crack open. We live like this, having full expectation. We shall stand in the Lord. We will be strong in Him for the glory of God, for the praise of the Lord. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, now and forever. That God be glorified. God is glorified as people receive Him, and the testimony of the Lord's wrought that hardened, sinful person has been delivered out. They've been changed. They're not the guy they used to be. They are a new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus, changed and transformed. And their very life brings glory to God, which brings praises to Him. Amen. Has your life been changed? Let's bring our praises to the Lord. Let's present ourselves as the worship team comes and just enter into that place, thanking Him, Lord, You delivered me from the evil that's going on in this world. I've been spared and brought out from the torment of sin and evil and devils. And be thankful for those who've made a difference in your life. Someone's life example may have given you hope where you didn't have any hope. Hope for, you know, you could have joy. Hope that you could raise children successfully. Hope for a good marriage. Because if someone's had a bad experience growing up, they don't have any hope for that. But someone might have seen your life, or you've seen someone else's life, and you say, I believe I can have a good marriage. I believe I can raise godly children. I believe I can walk in the joy of the Lord. Because this guy's doing it by the grace of God. I can too. So be thankful for examples, for someone who's made a difference in your life, and live a life purposed to make a difference in those you encounter wherever you are.